Well, ordinarily, we have the young people come forward, but for tonight, I'm just going to have you stay where you are, because I think it's a little easier that way. But tonight, I want to find out how many people are feeling excited. Maybe? Maggie, are you excited? She's looking at me like, well, I don't know. Oh, she said no. All right. Excited? Yeah? I see some excitement. Some adults, you could be excited too. Excited, right? And so what I wanted to talk to you all about tonight is, what does excitement mean? Do you feel a little bit of jittery in your tummy? Maybe some butterflies? Yeah, baby Corby's a little excited, yeah. And you get kind of excited. And I've been thinking today about, what does it mean when I get excited? What am I excited for? Especially around Christmas, for those of us who celebrate Christmas. And I think you might be excited about, let me think. Could it be cookies? A little bit excited about cookies? One of my personal favorites, are you a little bit excited about chocolate? Little chocolate, maybe excited about chocolate? And then maybe just a little bit, I don't know about this, I might be going too far, but are you excited about presents? Yeah, a little excited about presents. And a little ho-ho-ho person that might be coming. Yeah, a little excited. Yes, I see some excitement about that. So what I wanted to say tonight to all of you about things that make us feel excited is that things that make us feel excited often show us things that are important to us. We don't get excited about things that we're like, yeah, I could take it or leave it, right? We get excited about things that we're really, really interested in, that we really, really care about. And so what I want to remind you is, when you're excited about cookies, and you're excited about chocolate, and you're excited about presents, to also remember to be excited about family, to be excited about lights, to be excited about all the things that people this season are hopeful that new things might happen in the world, that we might have more peace, that we might have more people who feel loved, and that all of those things are really worth feeling super duper excited about. So let's just do one more good excited wow. Ready? One, two, three. Wow! A big excited wow. So I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I wish you everything that you're excited about, family and friends and good food and all of those things, to be wonderful blessings, and for you to remember to share that sense of excitement and happiness and joy with everyone around you, because you young people here are the best people at sharing joy and excitement. So please don't keep it to yourself, okay? The grown-ups really need it, all right? Help them out, even when they're tired tomorrow morning. You tell them it's really worth being excited about, okay? Yeah, all right, they're going to come tomorrow morning and tell you about this. So our reading, we've cut down to just one lesson, and I like to call this the Linus lesson. How many of you have seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special? Oh, yeah. It's a classic. It never goes out of style. And the one lesson from Scripture that Linus shares is the reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. So I'm going to share with you the Linus lesson. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace." So much about all that is causing anxiety in our world, all the fears and worries that people have, it is good to be reminded that there are things that still bring us hope. And so I invite you, if you feel so moved, we'll take a few moments of quiet for you to reflect. And then if you feel so moved, I invite you to say aloud from your seat, something which brings you hope in this time. And Cressa and I will try to say some of those words aloud or the phrases, and we will light some candles. And if you have a little one who's getting a little restless and needs to move, you can come forward and bring them up to light a candle of hope as well in this time. But the music's going to play a little bit, and we invite you to think about that which brings you hope in this season. It seems to me that the best songs have a story and tell a story. I will begin by sharing the story of the history of this carol that we will sing next. Then we will sing it, and then I will share my reflections on the story that the carol tells. So again, the best songs, I think, have a story and tell a story. And this is the story of "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear" was written by Edmund Sears, who was a Unitarian minister. This five-stanza poem that he wrote, which we'll only sing two stanzas of this evening, was written in 1849. Sears wrote this song, wrote the poem which became a song, when he was serving a Unitarian congregation in Wayland, Massachusetts. And he wrote it at a time when he was in the midst of a lot of personal melancholy, and when the news of revolution in Europe and the United States' war with Mexico were still fresh in his mind. The carol, the poem, portrays the world as struggling, the world that Sears himself saw. One account of the history of this song says that the first time it was ever sung was by Sears's parishioners in his home on Christmas Eve. And then, according to one of our colleagues who then served the Wayland congregation later on, one of the most amazing things about this particular carol is that its focus is not on Bethlehem, not on hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, but on his own time, and the contemporary issue of war and peace. It is prescient, it seems to me now, almost 170 years later. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit to sing the first two verses of Sears's poem, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." "Just when I think the magic of Christmas won't come for me this year. I'm too old. I'm too jaded. The music of the season gets me every time. I may be tempted to give in to my weary feelings and to throw up my hands in exasperation. The news is too bad. The holiday is too commercial. Yet if, as the carol suggests, I can cut through all of the babble sounds, might I find the meaning and the intent again? The fourth stanza of Sears's carol is rarely sung, but this is what it says. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. What would it take to hear angels in 2020? What would it take to believe in angels in the first place? In some force or presence hovering above us and singing songs of peace and goodwill in spite of everything. We are so noisy. Our lives are so full of sound, and if not actual decibels of noise, then internal chatter. Can you make some time in the coming days to listen for those angels? When was the last time you sat still, closed your eyes, and simply listened to your breath, to your heartbeat, to your conscience, to your life? What would you discover if you did? Losses still to be mourned, love to be more regularly shared, life to be more deeply lived. I fear that the angels may stop singing if no one is listening and everyone has decided that listening itself is not worthwhile. Why bother if you're an angel? We live in a world full of loud leaders and messages about what we should want and who we should be, and they often lead us astray. So perhaps the voices of the angels could be an at least annual way to check our compass. Am I actually headed across the right desert in search of what matters, or have I lost my way? I have always loved this image that Sears offers to us of angels relentlessly singing. Such is their care for us. They know we need their song. They believe we long to hear it. And each year, I want them to be right. I want to return their steadfast faith by showing up, by pausing, and listening. What are they saying? Where can peace and love be found? Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Let us take a few moments in stillness to try to listen for those angels. And of love available to us this Christmas season and every season of our lives. We ask that you help us to hear the angels all about us. The angels in the voices of our own children, the angels in the beauty of this place we call home, the angels in the beating of our own hearts. We know that our lives are full. We know that we dash about as if everything we do is immensely important. And we know and we confess that we forget to listen. May we, in this evening and sometime over this season, listen for all that is holy and beautiful, all that can only be heard when we pause. For that beauty and for this time, we give our thanks. Blessed be.